right, but anyway, let's pray and jump right into this. Father, thank you for what you are doing, and in the name of Jesus, light these scriptures up to us today, God. We need them. Your church needs them. This world needs them to us, but most of all through us. Everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to give it up one more time for the youth and then our students that come up here last week and just knocked it out of the park. Amen. They do a tremendous job, and again, we continue to expect that out of our students and young people. Amen. Well, also, before we get started right into the message, happy Memorial Day. Amen. All right, real quickly, if you have ever put on a uniform and served in any capacity, would you please stand to your feet where we can honor you this morning? Hallelujah. Look around. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your service. And a lot of people say, well, you do know that Memorial Day is for those who have passed away, don't you? Yes, I know that. I've known that forever since I've known it. So why do you stand up to people? Because they didn't know what they could be standing today. So they put their life on the line. They said yes to serving our country and protecting our freedoms. And so any one of them could not be standing today because of that. But because all the young men and women of God and the women that serve have said yes to serving, we're able to honor that and we're able to be here today and worship in a free nation still, as much as it is still, okay? But do you know the soldier said yes? And we come today, the title of the message today is, what if you said yes? What if nobody said yes to serving and protecting our nation? I can guarantee you, you wouldn't be sitting here today free. You would not have the privilege of getting up on your own free will and coming and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ today if the men and women had not said yes to the call to serve and protect our nation. So again, I always honor those and those that, even on the homeland side, our police, our firemen, our EMTs, people like that. I don't care. Life, if you put your life in the way to help somebody else, that's a hero in the earthly realm. Amen? Amen. Now, I will promise you, especially if you go back to the founding of our nation, to the men and women that said yes to become a free nation, that they didn't say yes for us to become the nation we've allowed it to become. So let's not degrade them, let's not disrespect them by turning this nation into something that was never meant to be. And that will only happen as the church starts saying yes to the things and the plan of God. Because of the reason we're in now is the church has not been saying yes. And this is going to kind of be a hard hitting. I'm going to try to put some humor in a few places. But this is a very sobering message today. If you look back in our history, a lot of people have said yes for us to be able to be here today and enjoy our freedoms. Yes, but you go all the way back to the patriarchs of the Word of God in the Old Testament. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, King Solomon. These people, all messed up people, but they said yes when God spoke something to them. And then if God spoke something to them and they said no, they ended up coming back and saying yes. Come on now, and thank God for his grace and his mercy. But I want to get up into the 1500s, where we begin to see a shift in the world. October 31st, 1517, a man by the name of Martin Luther. Now, it wasn't Martin Luther King Jr. This was way before him. But a man, a theologian by the name of Martin Luther, in the Catholic Church began to study and read the Bible and say, listen, there's some things in here we're not releasing to the people. And the reason you're not wanting to release them is because you want them to come to you to get to God. And he discovered you ain't got to go through no man but Jesus to get to Father. Amen? And so he penned out over the years, in case you've never studied Bible history, this is one of the things if you ever go to a Bible class, you're going to get. You're going to learn who Martin Luther is, amen? Anyway, he went to the door of the church. I got the name of the church here. Hold on. The Castle Church, Wittenberg Castle Church, where he went to all the bishops are wearing the Catholic Church. And he took and nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church. And that really began what we know as the Protestant Christian movement of today. He said yes to standing up to years of tradition. He said yes to having his name drawn through the mud. Come on now. He was excommunicated. They hated him. They did everything to destroy him, but he knew he was right. He said people have a right to read the Word of God and get to God one-on-one through God himself, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. They do not have to go through another person. Thank God for that. Amen. And then a few years later, in 1536, a man named William Tyndale. And if you look on the spine of your Bible, many Bibles will say Tyndale on it. Very popular Bible. And the reason it's popular is William Tyndale was the man who started printing the Bible into English where everyone could read it. See, they didn't want everyone to know what the Scripture said. That way they could manipulate the Scriptures and make you look to them versus God. Don't shout me down. So in 1536, William Tyndale was strangled to death, and then they took his body and burned it. Now, who did this? It was the Catholic bishops who done this to him for translating the Bible into English where everybody could read it for themselves. Thank God somebody said yes to getting the Word of God into our hands. Somebody has said yes, and that somebody, in the case of William Tyndale, he paid the ultimate price. He gave his life. His yes, he was saying yes to death. But it was for the cause of Christ. So when he said yes, he welcomed death. And my friends, when you say yes to everlasting life, you've got to be willing to say yes to death. If it's for the cause of Christ and you can take me out for the cause of Christ. Amen? Well, I didn't get too many amens on that. We got a lot of scriptures, only two notes today, but a ton of scriptures. So, and I'm going to need your participation again today. You always do so well. When I point to you, I want you to yell yes real loud. Ready? One, two, three.
Yes!
Oh, that was real good. All right, keep that enthusiasm right there. We're going to be doing that a lot today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Therefore, we also, everybody say, that's me. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, talking about us again, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us, our generation, run with what? Endurance. Why? The race that is set before us. Now look at that. If we just had you really say yes to that scripture, I would be in so much trouble. Because I couldn't get a building up fast enough to contain everybody. We would have to probably go to the school and have some people down there. We'd probably have to rent or buy a big tent to set out here. Because we wouldn't be able to handle the influx of people if this body of Christ said yes to the things of God. He said, lay aside every weight. Now, if you study the word weight out, it also can mean this right here. Let me lay aside some responsibilities that I have taken upon myself that don't make the kingdom of God grow. All of us are weighted down with things of time that consume our time, family, friends, marriage, jobs. Jobs are important. Hobbies, going here, friendships, and all those are important. But when that becomes the weight to where you can't do the work of God, you need to unload some of that weight and carry the cross of Jesus Christ. You need to unload your sin where you can carry the cross of Jesus Christ. And then the third word it used here was the word endurance. If you don't think being a Christian that says yes to God, you're going to have some build up and have some endurance, you done lost your mind. But I think we've got a lot of lazy Christians that want to go to heaven, but we don't want to do any work while we're here on earth. So go ahead and put up the first note. What today, if you said yes to Jesus and his word, what would your life look like? And I've been asking this question for a few weeks to some people I've run into just here and there. And they're like, and they're always thinking about their past. And they base it on, if I knew what I knew now, back then I'd made some different choices. And I would have said yes to the better things. I would have said yes to the godly things. But you know, you can't change that. Well, no, you can't, but you got today and going into tomorrow. Just because you ain't said yes back then don't mean you can't start today to say yes. And I think, I've not talked to anyone who said, you know, I think my life would be worse off if I would have said yes to the things of God. Every person I've talked to so far said, yeah, there's been things I've said no to God. There's some things where I just didn't listen to him. And there's some things I knew I was doing and I just shucked him off. And yes, my life would be better right now if I would have said yes to the things of God. Every single person, and I'm talking to saved people and lost people about this the last couple of months. The answer is the same whether you're lost or saved. Because everybody knows if you say yes to the things of God, God has a perfect plan for your life. Yes. Amen? Amen? So what would your life look like? Then if you're married, what would your marriage look like? If all through your marriage you would have said yes to the things of God for your spouse and you and your and even down into your family, what would your family look like? How would your kids have turned out or are turning out? If you would have said yes to spare the rod and spoil the child, how would your child be different? How would your would there be a little more peace in your house if you whipped that tail every once in a while? You see all the older ones hollering amen. But this is not about what you didn't do in the yesteryears of your life. It is about what are you going to do from this day forward with the yeses of God? Are you going to say yes? Do you even want to say yes? Don't know. We'll find out today because we're fixing to take a gauntlet of scriptures. And I did not have, I could preach till next year this same time and we could just take a scripture after scripture and say, are we saying yes or no? Or but we're going to try to pile this, some of the ones that I felt the Lord told me to do. Number one is Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. The words of Jesus Christ himself says this, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Now, that's simple, but yet it's so profound in today's times because we like to hang out in the maybe. Come on. We love to hang out in this generation, in my generation, in the maybe area. But let me read the rest of it to you. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. So that tells me that as I study this out, the years I lived in that maybe realm, I was living in the evil one's realm. Maybes of the devil. But we love the maybe realm in our generations. Hey, do you want to go on a mission trip? Well, you know, I don't know, maybe. I'll see if I ain't got nothing else going on. It ain't about praying and seeing if God tells you to go. It's based on what you feel you need to do. If you've got the time, if you can raise the money, that's not God. Listen to me. If somebody tells you, ask you to go on a mission trip, you say, if you don't have a definite unction in your spirit to go, you say, let me go before the Lord and pray about it. If he tells me to go, I'm going. If he don't tell me to go, I'm not going. I got invited for years by a really good friend of mine that goes to Africa a lot, and I've always wanted to go to Africa. I'd been a couple other places. He kept calling me, said, hey, I've got a trip coming to Africa. I want you to go. Let me pray about it. The Lord said no. Why? And I didn't get no answer. I just knew it was a no, so I called him back and said, I can't go. His answer was, why? I said, because I don't have a release from the Lord to go. And this happened like 4, 5, 6, 7 times. He got to be like, hey, listen, I done talked to the Lord for you. He wants you to go. And he said, look, if money's a problem, I've done got a sponsor that's going to pay 100% of your way. It won't cost you a dime. We're even going into the stage in the area built by Reinhard Bunke to preach off of his platform. So you'll be preaching in the same spot Reinhard Bunke preached in. Now, they won't be 1.5 million people, but we average around 70 to 100,000 people a night there. And you don't think that appeals to me? And I'm like, well, he's prayed. He's done heard God. And it was tempting for me not to pray and say, okay, I'll go. I prayed. God said, don't go. I'm like, what in the world? But I got to be obedient because I'm saying yes to God. I wanted to go. I wanted to preach like that there. But no. And I was fine with it. When I really come to God at it, and he said no, I'm like, calling him. I said, I'm not going. He said, I don't know what else to do to get you to go. I said, it's not you. It's not me. God just tell me I'm not in that season right now. And it was 2 or 3 years later, hadn't heard from him. Another guy calls me completely out of the blue, says, hey, I want you to go to Cote d'Ivoire with us to do the prophetic manual and teaching and releasing to pastors about close to 2 weeks. And look here, I didn't even hardly have to pray. I felt the Lord, Spirit of the Lord say, it's time. And I just like, hold on just a second. I didn't even hang up with him. Lord, did you just say yes? It's your time. Go. I'm going. I didn't ask how much. I didn't ask anything. I didn't ask none of the details. Why? Because I heard God say, tell me what to do. And I just said yes. Everything worked out fine. Great trip. Many people touched, lives saved, healed, delivered, set free. Phenomenal trip. So again, when it comes to the things of God, ask Him and don't filter it through your schedule, your plan, your finances, or nothing. Because where God guides, He provides. Where He leads, He feeds. All you got to do is hear God and either say yes or no. Anything else in between that, the Bible declares it's of the evil one. Amen? All right, I got to really go because we got to press through these scriptures today. What if you said yes and believed 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20? How would your life be different in this? Go ahead and put it up. For all the promises of God in Him, yes, are yes. And in Him, amen. To the glory of God, where? Now, I could park here and do a three-part series just on this verse, but I don't have time to do that. But I do want to point out to this. What if we said, yes, we believe the promises of God? Come on. Y'all ready? One, two, three.
Yes.
Oh, we believe the promises of God. All the promises of God. We believe them that He is a yes to His promises. Amen?
Yes.
Wow. But now here's the breakdown. Let me break you down with this scripture here. The promises of God in Him. Everybody say in Him.
Amen.
Him there is God. The promises of God in God are yes. And in Him, the amen. And amens means so let it be, it's coming to pass. Okay, you want to get back to it, it says so mote it be, so let it be, is what the word amen translates into. So in other words, in God's promises, in Him, it's always yes and amen. Our problem is we lack the promises of God in us. In us. Filtered through our feelings, our circumstances, our timing, and our schedule, and our likes and our dislikes. And then as Christians, we get flustered when we see a promise of God, but it's not yes and amen to us. It has to be the promise of God in Him you say yes to, not you. That'll help you a lot. We could say amen and go home, and if you just got that, again, our life would be changed. All right, now let's go to another familiar scriptures. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes. Yes. What if you really believe that? What if you really believe that and said, yes, I can do those things? Then the things that you would get nervous about when it's time to do something with Jesus and the Word, maybe at work or to a friend or in public, you was nervous about it. Well, you know, I don't want to stir up. No. Yes. Yes and amen. I can do this. But I can't do it. The reason you do that is you're trying to do it in your own strength.
Amen.
And that's the reason we fail. And that's the reason we get in that maybe category. Because if I can't do it in my strength and it's in my comfort zone, and if it's not lined up with exactly like I like it, then I want to leave some room to kind of back out of the things of God. So you're not really saying yes to God. You're saying no to God. Because you can. If the Bible says you can do all things through Christ, not through your own efforts or your own strength or your own doings, but you can, whatever God's assigned you to do that you said, yes, it's of Him, I promise you, you can do that. There can be a church in Eva that's doing what you're doing. Other people said, no, 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 it's never going to last. But it's here as a witness to people who said yes. And look to God, to Him and through Him to do it, not in our own strength. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, what would your life look like if you really said yes and believed this? That faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God.
Yes.
Come on, everybody, look up.
Yes.
Yes. Woo! Faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And not just on Sunday morning. Because you don't pay attention during the whole service anyway. Simple facts. You're going to get distracted and not pay a complete attention the whole time up here. Or the whole time, nothing. Nobody hardly does that unless you're yes and amen to him. Amen. And you're taking notes and you're writing things down because you're looking to grow out of the word. You're looking to increase your faith. You're not just coming in here for a quick splatter in your bladder and a quiver in your liver and a goosebump on across your back. You want something that makes a difference in your life so you can go out and make a difference. Yeah. And that's the church that says, yes, I'm going to hear the word of God today. I'm ready to receive the word of God today. I'm ready to write the word of God down. I'm ready to go back over it when I get home. I'm ready to get back up with it in the morning and say, God, apply that word to my life. Not just, let's see if he's funny today. He usually makes us laugh one or two times. Let's see if he's going to do something weird today. That's always a toss-up with me up here, amen? Amen? Now, okay? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, it should never be just confound, and we do, the hearing of the word of God, we always just confine it to preaching. You can hear the word of God every day when you get in the word of God. You can hear the word of God every day when you start listening to worship music, not just on Sunday morning, but going to work, coming home from work, while you're working out, while you're on your lunch break. You can listen to the word of God, praise and worship. You can listen to podcasts, great preaching, great teaching. You are surrounded by the word of God. But if you don't say yes to it, it's just like, nyow. Amen? Matter of fact, let's look at this one. What if we said yes to James 1:22? Be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only? Yes! Yes! We're not coming here today just to hear the word. We're coming in here to hear it and do it. Again, if you did that, I would be in so much trouble. I wouldn't be able to build fast enough. We wouldn't be able to get contractors in here quick enough. We're struggling right now. Yes and amen. Doers of the word and not just hearers only. But what I have found in modern-day American Christianity is we kind of say yes to the hearing part, as long as it's entertaining and it's something we want to hear, but we absolutely say no to the doing part. No, I'm not going to do that. No, that don't apply to my life. No, that I think that sin's okay for me and my family. Well, no, it's not. If it's sin against the Word of God, it's sin for anybody. Doesn't matter your circumstances. Doesn't matter your opinion. Doesn't matter how you were brought up. If it's sin, it's sin. I don't know where in the Bible you thought your opinion mattered. Your opinion should be, I'm going to say yes to getting delivered from sin. Yes to your power to overcome it. Not to excuse it. Not to continue in it. Not to make excuses. All right, one more note, and we're finished with the notes, and we're going to pound the scriptures really good here. We say yes to not going to hell, but no to living and doing what God's word commands us. And I am finding that weak yes. People just say, okay, now see, there's heaven and hell. And I do kind of believe that the only way to heaven is through Jesus. And I don't want to go to hell. I do want to go to heaven. So let me say yes to that Jesus that gets me to heaven. But I am not going to apply myself to the word, to being faithful to God's house, to being faithful in my marriage, to being faithful to raise my kids up in the glory of God, to be faithful not to tie one on every once in a while because I get stressed out, not to hit a little bump or two every once in a while, not to hang out where I shouldn't hang out. I'm just not going to say no to those things. But I want the yes that gets me to heaven. Again, you're on your way to hell. I love y'all. Yes. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. I heard the voice of the Lord. It's the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, this individual, Isaiah said, hey, yes, here am I. Send me. 1, 2, 3. Yes. That cry from God hasn't stopped. He's still saying, who will go for me? Who will go into that workplace you're at and be a Christian? Who will go into that school and not compromise your faith to be popular? Who will step on that college campus and not give up what your parents imparted into you and what your church did for you? Who will go to the workplace? Who will go into Walmart and not cuss because the cashiers ain't there? Well, who can I send out into this perverted world that will not compromise, no matter what people think, no matter what they post, no matter what they say, who will just stand on the promises of the yes and amen of the mighty God and not compromise? And Isaiah said, yeah, here I am, send me, yes, I'll do it. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what people think, Lord, yes to you. Yes, 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 yes. James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil, he himself, will flee from you. What do they? Yes! Woo! What if you really believe that? The next time that temptation comes at your doorstep and knock that you kind of enter in sometimes, and it would open, you would open a door and meet it with a Chuck Norris. Bam! Amen? Can I get three claps and a Ric Flair in the church? Woo! Satan would have a chance if he knew your yes was yes. And then when he tempted you, if he was still able to stand after you roundhouse karate kicked him, he would tempt you and you would say, my yes is yes to God and my to you is my no. You're not welcome here anymore. You don't have authority anymore. How would your life be different? If you've submitted yourself to God and you resisted the devil and he fled from you, he fled out of your marriage, he fled off the generations of your kids. Woo! I'm telling you, you want the life. Everybody wants the life, but this is the way you get it. You say yes to God. Are y'all okay? James chapter 4, just a few verses down, verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Yes. Yes, Lord. Pride goes before destruction. And when you're too proud to humble yourself, now notice it says humble yourself. It doesn't say others to do it. It didn't even say he wanted to do it. He commands us to humble ourselves. Why? Because when we're in that position, he's in position now to lift us up. Amen? When you won't forgive others, when you hang on to unforgiveness and bitterness and hateful and revenge, and God can't lift you up because you've not humbled yourself. When you won't forgive yourself for the mistakes you've made, God's waiting on you. He's waiting to lift you up out of that thing, but you got to forgive people. You got to forgive yourself. It's then when your mind is able to comprehend the love that God has, it's lifting you up above that and beyond that stuff. If anyone had to be perfect, flawless, righteous in their own self to preach or minister the word of God, none of us would be able to do it, including myself. The disciples, the apostles, none of them were qualified. What qualified them? They walked with humility, forgave when they got mad, forgave themselves when they messed up, and picked up the yes of God in their life and was able to do things. Why? Because now God can use that. But when you're walking, and by the way, when you don't forgive, that's pride. That may be a good note. I don't know. Should have been up there probably. But anyway, just prophesied up there. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. Psalms 100, verse 2. Y'all ready to do a big yes here? Serve the Lord with... Serve the Lord with gladness. Yes. Now watch this. And come before his presence with singing. Yes. Some of y'all done failed. You didn't come in here joyfully to serve this morning. And during singing, you kind of looked around, played on your phone or something. Huh? Huh? Come on. People do it every service. And you don't consider yourself saying no to God in his worship. But let me make sure the Bible's right. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's the opposite of not being glad. And I got a scripture that's fixing to describe that. Come before his presence with singing. That's in the Bible. You got a problem with that? Take it up with the Lord. Now, all right. I don't know if y'all ready for this next one. This could be the straw that broke the camel's back to say yes to. I have to prepare myself for this. Okay. Don't put it up yet. It's found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Are y'all ready? Take a deep breath. What would it look like if the children of God said yes to this? Put it up. I'm fixing to read it. Hold on. The Bible says, Word of God says, do all things. Do your life, your marriage, your raising of kids, your work, your church. You're serving Him. Do all these things without complaining and disputing. Yeah. Most Christians' reaction. Just can't do it, God. I just can't do it. I will die right here, Lord, if I have to do that. I know it's your word. But I know you don't expect me to do that, God. Oh, but I want you to bless me, God. You never know what you're going to miss if you miss church. Put that back up. We got to stay on that one just a minute more. The Bible says, now we're fixing to do our thing here. Do all things. If he would have just put some things in there, we could have dealt with that. If he could have said, do all things that pertain to what you enjoy. Oh, we're in the roses again. But all things mean the things you don't want to do. Around people sometimes you might not want to do that with. Or in front of, and be a Christian in front of everybody. I mean, my God, I'm pretty sure that he even meant this, that when you got married, it was for your spouse. Now, I want us to be real in here today. How many's been married more than 48 hours? 48 hours. Now, raise your hand if you have never, ever complained or disputed with your spouse. I'm waiting for a hand to go up. I've never seen a hand. I can't raise mine either. As a matter of fact, you see where my hands went. Put mine in my pocket. Now, I like to make it fun. I like to make it jokey to make a point here. But the point is, when I disobeyed that and I said no to that, I have sinned against God and my wife. And if I've got kids, I've sinned against my kids for seeing that. Yeah. Oh, it's quiet now. God's not playing with this stuff. How would the church of America look if we couldn't complain and gripe about church? Let me tell you what would America would look like. Marriage would be between a man and a woman. Schools would have prayer before and after and any time needed. Our economy would be flourishing and overflowing. There would be no need for welfare because our neighbors would take care of each other. we wouldn't be at war with everybody because we'd be a land of peace. Our nation, our life, it would look radically different if we just said yes to God. Okay, I wanted to stay on that one a long time, but I got to move on quickly. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Now watch this. Everybody stops there. Let's read the rest of this. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. But look at here now again. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Forgive? And then it goes into something else in the next verse. Okay, well, let's just stop and say yes to that. To judging, to not bringing condemnation, but bringing forgiveness to people, we say yes. It's of the Lord. But then he shifts right out of that in the next verse and look at the first word. Give. Give forgiveness. Give love. Give compassion. Give empathy. Give of your resources, your time, and your talent, your encouragement to others. See, when you think that word, you think, and it's been perverted, you got to give God money if you want to bless him. No, you give him yourself if you want to be blessed.
That's right.
You say yes to him. Here I am, yes to you. And he'll direct your time, your management, your resources, your energy, your whatever you got, your money included. Yes, it's part of that, but it's not the big thing. It's you. So give, and it will be given to you. When you give forgiveness, you get forgiveness. When you sow in love and compassion, you will reap love and compassion. It'll be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It'll be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. What if we said yes to that? Nobody would go for without anything in around here if we said yes. If we said yes to the people who are struggling in their sins instead of talking about them, they would probably be more quick to come into the church that doesn't bring condemnation on them but sets them free. Forgives them, shows them forgiveness through Jesus, and sets them free. Instead of the church gossipers talking about them. In church, out of church, where you work at. If all the Christians couldn't gossip, what would the world talk about? It might just be Jesus. I don't know. I want to shift to you if you're here and you're young and you're not married and the married people. Because I told you, this stuff will change your marriage too. For the young people that's not married yet, this is the verse. Raise your hand if you're not married. Doesn't matter if you've been married. Just if you're single right now, raise your hand. I got a word of God for you. Some of you may have recognized it, and it may be the ones you said, I should have said yes to that the first round. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Go ahead. Do not. Nope, not that one. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What the Bible says. And I may have given them the wrong thing up there. It's probably me because I had so many scriptures. I probably boo-booed this one. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has the light with darkness? But these little young hormones, you know what they do? Oh, but he's such a hunk. Look at him. Look at how masculine he is. He's just so pretty. Yeah, he's pretty and going to hell. You want to go for the ride? You want to go along? Or the guys go, whoa, she's hot. Yeah, she's hot and been with everybody in the county. You want something used and been drugged through the gutter? Is this too real? No. It's what they're facing today. Yeah. Or do you want somebody that's of God, that when you stand up there, neither one of you is getting secondhand material? Now, I know we sometimes make mistakes in our youth, but let me tell you something. Secondhand doesn't stay secondhand when you refurbish it and come to God, and he redeems it. He makes it as good as new, if not better. So I'm not here to bring condemnation on you for your past if you've got it under the blood. But if you ain't got it under the blood and you still repeating the same things, you still in the gutter. And I'm not here to make fun of you or anything. I'm here to say, come out, be cleaned, and go forward in Jesus' name and say yes to the plan of God, amen, which will always be purity outside of marriage. But so many people, because of how hot she is or how handsome or hunky he is, or he's a football star, she's a cheerleader, whatever, they got money, he drives this kind of car. People get married for a stupid car. Oh, he drives this. Well, his parents are paying for it. And then when his parents can't pay for it no more and you're in marriage and you're struggling, I didn't know it'd be like this. And that's all I got to say about that. If you're married, raise your hand. If you're happily married, raise your other hand. Yeah, y'all better get them up. The only ones that thought about not putting it up is your spouse is either serving in children's ministry or not here today. You're looking at going around. Yeah. If your spouse is set beside you, got you, baby. It's the difference between being married and happily married. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we're going to need some yeses on this from y'all. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25. Let's just go ahead and put the first one. Don't put it. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Oh, that was weak. Some of y'all already cringing. Let me read it first to you. Wives. Submit to your own husband as to the Lord.
Yes.
Now, I heard a little more men yes at that than I did women. You women, you volume down there a little bit on me. And men, come up a notch or two on because you like this. It's the word of God. Look at your wife and say, you need to say yes to God. Come on, look at your wife. If you got one, it's going to be okay. Look at your wife and say, you need to say yes to God. 1, 2, 3, go.
Yes.
Did you tell her? Some of y'all look scared. Some of y'all look petrified right now, guys. You're like, that's what he's saying I should say to you, baby, okay? I love you, okay? Okay, is that the word of God?
Yes.
Ladies, is this the word of God?
Yes.
Is that in your Bible?
Yes.
Okay, then we should say?
Yes.
Let's read on. Next verse says, for the husband, everybody say the husband.
Yes.
He is the head of the wife. Where's my wife at? Why? Of course she can't be in here this morning. The husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body.
Yes.
What if we said yes to that verse, ladies? How would your home look different? How would your marriage look different? How would your husband look? I can tell you how he'd look. I'd take on the world. I'm tired of fighting demons. Where's Satan? I want a one-on-one. Listen, ladies, you laugh at that. I'm not joking with that. When you become that biblical role model of a wife and you're there to help and support your husband and you're building him up, he will fight hell with a water pistol. I'm telling you, I have seen it happen. We're very low maintenance. We just need that little... Anyway. Verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, and we say, what to that? Is this church subject to Christ?
Yes.
Yes, we are. What's this now? Just as the church is subject to Christ, and we say yes, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Yes.
I ain't released it yet. Get ready.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes over here. Yes right here. Yes to this section. I love you guys. Yes. 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 It's the word of God.
Yes.
It's the Word of God. It's in the Bible. From the Lord's anointing. His plan for you live. Woo! What would your life look like? Man, I done got my hair all down everything today. Woo! Ladies, are y'all okay?
Yes. Whew,
my goodness. What a powerful message for you gals today. Amen? Are y'all excited? I can tell. I can really tell you're getting fired up about this. Hey, don't mind your own business out there. But that's perfect timing, though. Watch this. Now, I told you we're going through verse 25. We just made it through verse 24. Ladies, get ready. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives just like Christ also loved his church and gave himself for her. Yeah. Ladies, 1, 2, 3. Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Yes to the husbands here. Yes to you guys here. Yes over here. And yes and amen over there. Yes to loving your wife. Now let's think about that. How much did Jesus love the church? He sacrificed for it first. He was beaten over it. Now some of y'all can relate to that. He was beaten in that relationship. Beat down. Now I'm serious. He was beat down for the church. He was talked and mocked and made fun of by the bride of Christ. Spit on. You're the king of the Jews. Save yourself. Reached up and snatched his beard out of his face. Beaten with a cat of nine tails. But he took every bit of it with a glad heart. Because he knew he was the covering for all of humanity. And guys, we become the covering over our wives when we take them as a bride. And it's not so much about having to go through that, but every marriage has to go through some things. Just be the leader you're called to be and lead like Christ. Because if you want the woman to do those three verses, she usually will have no problem coming into that role when she sees you fulfilling your role. Why can't she go first? Because she's not the leader you are. And that's all I got to say about that. Come on, Ronnie, get me up out of here quickly. I'm not greeting nobody today. I'm going straight to my truck and leaving. No questions? No, I'm just kidding. If you're a first-time attender, I have a room right over here. I'd love to meet you. And if you got complaints, just don't bother me today. You go home, pray about it, and say yes to forgiving me right now. All right. Everybody say, bring it back. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20. Last two are Jesus' words, so last two verses. Very familiar. Go. 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 Go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next verse. Okay, never mind. No next verse. Just that alone. Now I want you to seriously think about this. What if the body of Christ, every person who calls himself a Christian, said yes to this? What would your life look like? What would their life begin to look like? And what would God's church look like? Breaking news in America. All businesses are having to be put on hold because we can't build churches fast enough. All construction companies have been saved and born again by the employees that work there that witnessed to them. And now they're committed to build the churches that are growing and cities that are coming to Christ. And everything is shutting down because churches' revival is hit like God said it could when we would fulfill the Great Commission. So all buildings are nothing being built right now, but are places where the church is being equipped to go out and win more lost. Wouldn't that be a great headline news? You might not get your new Arby's or your Bojangles, but you'd have people getting discipled in Christ. If the church was to say yes to God's word. Then it goes on, it says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end. Teaching them, discipling them. What if you said yes to that on the job? What if you said yes to that in your home? What if you said yes to that in your church? What a difference it would make. What would your life look like? Now I'm going to give you one that some of you may not like here to end with. And the reason I do this is because it's the Word of God, and I don't care if you like it or not. Not to be rude, but the Word of God is the Word of God. How is it capable for a Christian, even a Christian, to say yes to all this? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Stay out of the way of God and just do what He says do. Trust Him, have faith in Him. We know all that. But what inside of us can give us that unction to not just say it, but actually follow through and begin to do it? To where we're still living in our world. We still got to go to work. We still got to be married. We still got to raise kids and do things and have a yes to all that. But you don't have to leave God out of any of that. He'll come right into every bit of that. If you'll just say yes to those things too. Here's the only way I know to tell you to do it. That it'll make a difference in you, to empower you to be able to do it, to give you the strength to do it, to give you the fortitude, the discipline in your life to do it. Because I don't think you can do it. I know you can't do it without this. John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, and before He did, Jesus had His disciples there together, and a crowd was with Him. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I, Jesus, also I send you." Will you say yes to that sending?
Yes.
Five of us will. But even there, Jesus knew if He was going to send them, He could not send them out in their current condition. They were churchy. They were faithful to church. They were doing the work. But He knew the world would come at them and tempt them. He knew, already knew, each one of them to be killed for their faith, by the way. All the disciples were martyred. John was exiled and died on the exiled island, but he still was martyred out there. So He says, I gotta give you something before I go. And the thing I'm going to give you is going to be able to make you where you can do it outside your own personal strength. Now watch what this right here says. Verse 22, and when He, Jesus, had said this, He, Jesus, breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Because without Him, you can't stay in the yes. You will say no. Because you'll say it based on your own feelings and your own likings and circumstances. But I got to get you out of yourself and get you into this thing called the Holy Spirit. Because He's your teacher, He's your comforter, He's your lead, He's your guide through this life to the yes and amens of God. Now I'm going to take just a minute to share this with you. That's John. Listen to me now. This is before the book of Acts. This is before they got in the upper room. Everybody says in the upper room, that's where the Holy Spirit came and they all got born again and saved, and it launched the church out of there with power. Nay, nay. They didn't get born again there. They got born again here. They went from the old covenant of walking with Jesus up to the fulfillment of the resurrection of Jesus, and now the teaching. The final impartation was the start of the new blood covenant of Jesus Christ in salvation through the Holy Spirit. And that's why He breathed on them before He left and said, receive this Holy Spirit. Be born again into the new covenant of God. And they were born again. And then they went to an upper room. And He says, okay, you're in the kingdom now. But if you're going to stay in the yes and amens of God, you can't just be in the kingdom. The kingdom's got to be in you. The power of heaven, the power of my Father's promises that are all yes and amen in Him, the signs, wonders, and miracles, that is not just in regular things, okay? That is in the supernatural of Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So He sent these saved people who got saved here, got the Holy Spirit, He sent them into an upper room for 10 days. They fasted and they prayed and they come together as one. And then the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind into this new covenant church. And it filled them with the Holy Ghost. And it says tongues of fire began to appear over every one of them. And they all began to speak with new tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I love you. I don't believe in them tongues. Don't matter. 1 Corinthians 14 says, forbid not the speaking of tongues. Do you know how many people's told God no to his spiritual side? No. I don't believe it. I don't want to be weird. I don't believe in it. I don't believe it. Now, let me make sure you understand this. They got saved in John 20. They got empowered in Acts chapter 1 and 2. You don't have to be what we call baptized in the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. And don't let anyone ever tell you you do. If you do, you just say, excuse me, because you didn't explain John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. How did they get the Holy Spirit and not be able to go to heaven? And there was no shandala, hopasai, get on my Honda and ride off in the sunset here. That came later on when they was in the upper room. Saying yes to the fullness of the Holy Spirit is saying yes to everything, all the verses we just described.